I have a client. He's on a murder charge.
You're a lawyer. Why do you need me to find Joe Collins?
He's got something to get me out.
Yeah, tell me I'm out of here. What?
A laptop.
If you don't find Joe for me, I am dead.
The day's violence has put further pressure on the Prime Minister after today's allegations about his financial affairs.
Dead man walking.
I've read Elspeth's file.
What do we want to achieve with this information?
The end of Brian Worsley.
Tomorrow, Alex Wentworth will be appearing at a press conference. My understanding is that he's going to make new allegations against Worsley, which he won't survive.
In front of the world's media, it'll be the perfect launching pad.
You are in danger. There is someone I know. Well, I'd like to talk to him, get his advice.
Harry, I've just seen Jason Stiles.
Michael's been arrested.
While you're in here, you keep your head down. You stand your ground.
Where is she?
Gina flees.
Where's Teddy Coburn?
There were photographs of this fella Coburn in the doctor's office.
You got your email, you got your photographs, you got your bottle, all Coburn.
We'll raise a glass of Coburn's on the 10th of July.
Don't you want to know the truth about what happened to your brother?
Well, they say the truth sets you free. The truth is going to send me to prison.
You want to talk about the night your brother and his friend came to visit?
Somebody paid Paul Hillman and my brother to pull that trigger. Okay, no harm done. I swear you're wrong, Edge.
Philip Glenister. Hidden. At Braddock's house, Harry's tending to Frank, who's been shot. He turns to Gina.
Get a towel, something.
Gina hurries off. Harry gets out his mobile.
No Edge. No harm yet.
You've just been bloody shot.
Gunshot wound. The cops will be right behind them. Well, my record, that's jail life.
Frank, this is bad. You don't have a choice, mate.
Oh, bastard. Just get me out of the house.
Harry cancels the call.
It's gonna hurt, mate.
Come on.
Picking up the gun, Harry helps Frank to walk, while Gina manoeuvres Lander back into his wheelchair.
Do you know what happened in this house 20 years ago?
Same night, your uncle was shot. My parents were murdered. I think my parents were killed for the same reason your uncle was killed.
Which is what?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Why do you think your uncle was killed?
It was a robbery.
Did they take anything?
They bungled it. They panicked when the police showed up.
Did they look panicked when they shot your uncle?
Lander remembers someone standing over Braddock and shooting him.
Did they look panicked when they shot you?
Young Hillman pulling the trigger.
There's a reason why your uncle was killed. Did your uncle say anything unusual? Was there anything out of place? Please think.
The night before he was killed, he had a visit.
Who from?
In Frank's blue estate car, Harry pulls up at speed in front of the house. Gina rushes outside, jumps in, then they drive off. Frank slumped in the back, holding a bloody towel over his abdomen.
What are you doing in there? Need to get to hospital. How are you doing back there?
Working on the story.
Did you get anything out of him?
All he said was Braddock received an unexpected visit the night before he was killed. From James Morpeth.
What's James Morpeth doing there?
Morpeth was with another man, someone called Coburn.
Teddy Coburn?
Yes. Do you know him?
We'll raise a glass of Coburn's on the 10th of July.
What?
It's an email Frank found.
Spitfire2@morpethall.com. Morpeth.
In his mansion at night, James answers his mobile to Stiles.
Yes?
Harry Venn and Gina Hawkes.
Broke into the Braddock house 20 minutes ago.
Braddock? What did they want?
What are they looking for?
That's not yet clear.
I'm on my way there now.
You don't realize it's less than 20 hours to the main event.
They're fumbling.
In the dark.
Well, people sometimes fumble their way to the light. You take care of this problem, Mr. Stiles, before that happens.
Gina hurries out of a hospital to the car with an empty wheelchair. Then Harry heaves Frank into it. Harry wheels Frank towards the entrance.
Hey, Frank. How's your story coming along? You want to run it by me as your solicitor?
Harry, listen! Oh, I really hope you and the girl make it. If you do, the next time I see you, you won't be my solicitor. You'll be sitting beside me in the dark.
Meanwhile, in the car, Gina's doing an internet search on her phone for James Morpeth and Teddy Coburn.
Excuse me. This man's been badly hurt. He needs to see a doctor straight away. See you later.
After leaving Frank in the waiting room, Harry dashes back to his car. James Morpeth's mansion is lit up in the night when General Sir Adrian Henderson pulls up in a car. He climbs out with a briefcase, then he and his aides approach the house, where a butler stands waiting.
Good evening, General. Mr. Morpeth is expecting you.
On the motorway.
Hey, have a look at this. It's a photograph of Morpeth and Coburn together.
It's a Spitfire. It's a bloody Spitfire, Spitfire 2. That's the email address.
Harry begins replying to the email.
See how he responds to this.
Main event, 1600. Units here by 1620, units here by 1635. Hopefully with nothing else to do but sit on their hands.
James receives an email that reads, "Hope to join you and raise a glass of Coburn's tomorrow."
Problem?
Just give me a moment.
James steps outside to make a call. Harry answers.
Hello?
You sent me an email just now.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the party.
I'm afraid you've lost me.
You know, the party where we're going to be drinking lots of port. Coburn's port. My favourite.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
What's your name? Spitfire 2?
I think you've got the wrong number.
No, you called me.
Okay, let's have a listen to this.
He loads up video footage of James from the internet.
Yes, the cost in North America is quite competitive. You can't find cheaper places, but you need to match.
Same voice.
Morpeth visits Reddick shortly before he's murdered. That's no coincidence. He's involved.
James calls Stiles.
I've just been talking to Harry Venn.
I'm forwarding the contact number. Track down that telephone, Mr. Stiles.
Understood.
As Gina drives along the nighttime motorway, she rubs her forehead, looking tired and preoccupied. Harry's phone rings.
Yeah?
Harry?
Yeah?
It's Joe Collins.
Joe Collins. I've been looking for you, Joe. Where are you?
I'm at a hotel near Heathrow.
In his hotel room, Joe looks agitated.
You're the chief leader writer on the main RDO media paper. Now, your big boss, Elspeth Verney, not only is a very good friend of Alex Wentworth, she's also a key supporter. So what can you tell us of what he's going to reveal tomorrow?
It's going to be damning. It's going to be very damning. I think we're going to hear things about Brian Worsley that will shock and dismay even his most ardent supporters.
Gina turns into the brightly lit hotel car park, stops at the barrier, then winds down her window to press the ticket button.
Alexander Wentworth's an extremely divisive figure.
Joe mutes the TV, then goes to the door. He checks through the peephole before opening up.
Harry, thank God. I need money and I need a passport now. Can you help me, pal? Can you? I won't ask, but I'm in real big trouble here.
Wait a minute, just slow down. This is Gina Hawkes. She was Stevie's solicitor.
Yeah.
What's this all about?
Did anyone follow you here?
No.
Joe pours another vodka.
What did Stevie tell you? What happened?
Joe, don't worry about that. Just talk to me.
About a week ago, I got a call on my phone. This fella called himself Styles. Asked to meet, said there was money in it. Me and Stevie, we met him at the embankment. We talked for a couple of minutes and we got in his car and drove around for a bit more. He offered us a job. 20 grand.
What was the job? What do you want you to do?
Kill someone.
Me? You mean me?
Joe looks at Gina, then nods.
Yeah. He wanted a sex crime.
What? He wanted it to look like a sex crime?
No, he wanted us to go through with it.
So why is she alive?
We needed the money. Bad. But the more this fella talked, the less me and Stevie liked. When we got out of the car, I took something with us.
His laptop?
Worst decision I ever made. He sent someone after us. You know who? You'll think I'm mad, but I'm not. Paul Hillman. It was him, Harry, back from the dead. I'm not making this up, believe me.
Joe, I believe you, all right? I believe you.
Can you help me out here, Harry, can you?
Joe. Where's the laptop? Where's the laptop?
Gina enters a password.
One more attempt until data wipe.
Let's get out of here.
Stevie thought maybe we could bargain with them. Give it back to leave us alone. These people, they're not interested in doing any deal.
Sir Nigel's photos on the news.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Wentworth's backers now include Sir Nigel Fountain, who apparently has been working behind the scenes for weeks with billionaire industrialist James Morpeth. The presence of such a senior legal figure...
Nigel Fountain and James Morpeth.
...throwing their collective weight behind the Wentworth campaign...
Look after yourself, Joe.
...given the constitutional crisis the government is facing, particularly given the job Wentworth is...
I know a bloke who should be able to hack into this computer.
Well, let's go there now.
You can't. It's a shop. It's not open till the morning.
Yeah.
They're onto you, Harry. Get rid of the girl's phone.
Mark.
What's that?
Give me your phone.
Yes.
He chucks Gina's phone away, then quickly ushers her towards the car.
Grab hold of the laptop.
Sitting in the passenger seat, Gina takes the laptop, then looks outside warily. Harry begins driving around the car park, searching for the exit. He passes the entrance barrier just as the dark van containing Styles and his heavies pulls up. Styles climbs out with his mobile clamped to his ear.
You are within 100 metres of advice. Acquiring satellites, please hold.
When Harry stops at the exit barrier, Gina looks across the car park and sees Styles.
Harry, Styles.
Satellites acquired, triangulating now.
Shit. I'm for the bloody ticket.
He finds it in his pocket.
The device is static and within 25 metres of your current location.
Go.
What's the status now?
The device remains static and we can now track to within 10 metres.
A suspicious Styles has been watching Harry's car like a hawk, but when it moves on through the barrier, Styles turns his attention elsewhere.
Ring Collins, what about Styles?
Now!
Styles hooks up with one of his men in the hotel reception. Then they both proceed to the lift. Meanwhile, in his room, Joe's hurriedly stuffing things into a holdall. He looks towards the door. Then at his mobile ringing on the bed. Ignoring the call, Joe walks hesitantly to the door, then quietly puts on the chain. He then leans forward to look through the peephole. Three bullets rip through the door and penetrate his chest. Joe falls backwards to the floor.
This is Joe. Leave me a message.
Straight to voicemail.
Shit.
Now in his 50s, with balding hair and glasses, DI Fenton Russell is led by a medic to a hospital room. While a uniformed officer stands guard at the door, Russell goes over to Frank's bed and flashes his ID.
Where's Harry Venn?
Who?
He was with you tonight when you got shot at the Braddock house.
Nah, not me. I was out walking my dog, minding my own business, when bang, someone shoots me from a passing car.
Where's your dog?
Well, she ran off, didn't she? Would you blame her?
What did Harry want with Ben Lander? Why did he go back to the house?
Did she just start speaking Chinese? Because I didn't understand a word she just said.
Do you like Harry Venn?
He's my solicitor.
Do you like him? Would you call him a friend?
Yeah. He's a good guy, Harry.
Then do your friend a favor. He's in serious trouble. Someone's trying to kill him.
Like you give a shit.
What about you? Do you give a shit? Because if you do, help me. I'm his only chance. Where's Harry?
There you go again. Talking Chinese.
The medic wheels Frank's bed out.
Right. Let's get you up to theatre.
It's still dark outside when Harry pulls into the driveway of a smart red brick house in a quiet residential street. He and Gina climb out, then he rings the doorbell. Lauren answers.
Sorry, I'm in a lot of trouble. And you're the only person I can trust.
Come in.
Harry and Gina step over the threshold, then Lauren closes the door.
This is Gina.
I'm Gina Hawks.
Just give us 5 minutes.
He ushers Gina into another room.
Harry, what's going on? Who is she?
Mark's alive.
Harry, look at you. You're shaking. What have you taken?
He's alive, Lauren.
Harry.
I saw Paul Hillman. I saw him.
Oh, my God, is that blood?
Listen. I need to take a shower, change of clothes. Just give me 10 minutes.
Okay.
A little later, the shower is turned on. Harry runs his hands across his head, then lets the water wash over his face. Downstairs, Worsley is on the TV news.
In Britain, we rightly defend freedom of the press tenaciously. But that freedom comes with responsibility. It is not a license for abuse of power. The allegations against me are another example of an overweening media corporation cynically manipulating the truth in pursuit of a dangerous political agenda.
That was the Prime Minister earlier today. Meanwhile, Key Wentworth supporters, who include billionaire industrialist James Morpeth, have called on the public to brace themselves for a body blow not just to Brian Worsley, but to the entire political establishment. Prime Minister Brian Worsley still no nearer to still...
Where's the punch?
It's tricky, Elspeth. We don't know what Wentworth is going to say at the press conference. If we overhype this and he doesn't deliver, we end up looking really silly.
I want you out of this building now.
She turns to Elliot.
Tomorrow, Alexander Wentworth will give the most sensational disclosures ever made about a serving British Prime Minister. That's what we need to see on this page.
She fixes the other journalist with a steely stare, and he walks off.
James Morpeth will be with him. We need his picture too, plus a profile. The full works. He's going to be a major figure post-Worsley.
sunlight is reflected in the peaceful lake outside James's mansion. Inside, James is sitting in his dressing gown at the breakfast table. He takes a sip of tea from a china cup, then gazes out of the window. At Lauren's, Harry comes downstairs, then joins Gina in the living room.
Okay, we need to go.
Morpeth is going to be at the Wentworth press conference today. Today is the 10th of July. The date in Morpeth's email?
We'll raise a glass of Coburn's on the 10th of July.
I called a taxi.
Why did you call a taxi?
I have to talk to Nigel.
I'm coming with you. Gina, what's to stop him calling Stiles again? Now don't go to see him, all right? Call him, but talk to him on the phone.
Whatever it is he has to say, I need him to look me in the eye and say it.
Fine, but I'm coming with you.
Harry, this is between Nigel and me. I'll buy a new phone and call you. Write down your number again.
He thinks for a second, then jots down his number on a notepad.
I'm glad Stevie Quirk sent me to you.
She gives him a peck on the cheek.
Mr. Van.
Then turns and walks out. He stands watching her go. Gina quickly gets into the back of a waiting black cab, then it pulls away. Lauren comes downstairs.
Are you okay?
Yeah. You talked to Michael?
Yeah, he said you went to see him.
Didn't go too well.
It's not what he said. He said you said some things to him that really made him think. What was it? What did you say?
I was quite hard on him.
Well, whatever you said, he didn't take it that way. It meant a lot to him.
You tell him I'm sorry for everything.
Harry, what do you mean by that?
When he hugs her, she feels a gun tucked into his waistband.
The gun.
Lauren. I love you.
He gives her a brief, urgent kiss on the lips, lets his forehead rest on hers for a fleeting moment, then leaves the house. He gets into Frank's blue estate, quickly reverses onto the street, then speeds away. Later, Harry's driving along a rundown high street.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, north of Sierra, south of Sierra, 40s, Cromarty. Westerly or southwesterly, 6 or 7, occasionally gale 8 at first, except in south of Sierra, decreasing 4 or 5. Rain then squally showers, moderate or clear, becoming...
He pulls over and unclips his seatbelt.
West or southwest, 5 or 6, decreasing 3 or 4, then back in south, 4 or 5 later.
He looks across the street at a row of dingy shops, all with their shutters still down. Settling down in his seat, Harry stares off into space, then lets his eyes close. Wentworth's family home is a hive of activity.
Glad to have you on board. Thank you for your support.
Alexander needs to know if you're going to line up with him on this.
This is difficult, Alex. You're asking me to sign up to something without telling me what it is.
You know what this country's up against. We are this close to collapse.
Excellent.
That's why I'm asking for your trust and support.
A blind trust. Unconditional support.
For now.
Only you could say that with a straight face, Alex.
And not for long. After the press conference, I'll go outside and address the rally. Then I'm going to lead my supporters on a walk to Parliament. I'd like you to be beside me on that walk.
My God, Mussolini's march on Rome, eh?
Except I'm not leading a march of blackshirt reactionaries. I'm walking with people who won't sit by while their country falls to pieces around their ears. Some of those people happen to be conservative. Some are liberal, some are on the left. Most aren't interested in ideology, and neither, frankly, am I. I'm certainly not interested in the tried and tested British way of staggering along and hoping something will come up. In these circumstances, that is not a viable option.
Have a think.
Your vote would mean a great deal.
In a flashback, Mark's body suddenly falls across a windscreen. Young Harry sits in the car, looking horrified as Mark turns his blood-spattered face towards him before sliding off the bonnet. Harry awakes from his nightmare.
Welcome to the show. This morning, the nation waits with bated breath. The talk of the last 24 hours here at Westminster has been what exactly will Alexander Wentworth reveal to us at his press conference later today. I'm joined now by the political editors of three of our national newspapers, no less, to fill us in on their take on what has got to be one of the most controversial periods.
Carrying the laptop, Harry leaves the car. Sir Nigel answers his mobile in his office.
Hello?
Nigel.
Yes?
I need to see you.
Where?
Kew Gardens.
Now, a guy's working on the laptop's encrypted password.
Do you think you can get into it? I'm in sort of a hurry here, Malcolm.
Malcolm ignores Harry and carries on with his work. Gina's walking briskly through Kew Gardens in the sunshine. She passes a few people who are milling around on her way towards a large domed glass house. Inside, she looks beyond the hothouse plants at a group of schoolchildren passing by outside. Then, she spots Sir Nigel coming along the path towards her. Their eyes meet, then he joins her in the glass house. When he steps up close to her, she won't look him in the eye.
Gina.
Was it a shock finding I was still alive?
They promised me nothing would happen to you. I still have their word.
They. Morpeth. Stiles. You're part of them. Aren't you? Who are they? Why did they murder my parents? Why did they want to kill me?
Gina, you have to believe me. I've only ever wanted to protect you. Remember the first day I brought you to my house? You were so lost, so sad. It was an awful time. And it was that day my life really began, with you.
Yeah.
I still remember the first time you put your hand in mine.
You made me feel safe. You made me feel loved. Till you sent a killer after me. You've known all along why my parents were killed. When were you going to tell me?
I had no part in it. Your parents were my friends. I had no idea they were going to be killed.
Why? Why were they murdered?
Malcolm, how long is this going to take?
It normally take this long.
Harry turns away impatiently. He steps through to the front of the shop, then sees a police officer on his radio by Frank's car.
Shit.
Gina stares accusingly at Sir Nigel.
They were asked to help and they wouldn't cooperate.
Ask for help? What do you mean, not cooperate?
There are rules.
Rules?
Yes, rules that have to be observed.
Who asked my parents for help? What kind of help?
Gina, you don't want to know this.
You've seen me drive myself insane for 20 years trying to find out the truth. So tell me.
He sits down.
Nigel, I have to know. I have to.
Still keeping his eye on the street from the shop, Harry spots Russell pulling up next to Frank's car with backup.
Running out of time, Malcolm.
That's his password.
Great.
That is his file directory.
Harry quickly makes a note.
Your parents were still young, but they were a formidable legal team. Well, you know that. and they were approached to do some legal work by a man called Teddy Coburn.
What did Coburn want my parents to do?
Gina, please, listen to me. In everybody's interests, particularly yours, you must stop asking these questions. Your parents are dead. I'm sorry. And you have to believe me on this, if on nothing else. I am truly sorry.
What did Coburn want my parents to do?
Sir Nigel notices a small red light tracing Gina's throat.
Gina.
He leans over her. And gets shot in the back. Harry is walking along a street with the laptop. He spots police officers questioning people up ahead and ducks into a laundrette. The woman on the counter is busy writing and doesn't look up. He notices the cops are now talking to someone right outside, so he moves through to the back of the shop to keep out of sight. Avoiding another woman who's ironing in a side room, he passes into a back area full of clothes rails, then tucks himself in between them. He sits down and opens the laptop. When the shop assistant passes nearby, he pauses, waiting till the coast is clear, before carrying on. He scrolls down through the list of folders, then expands the tree of one called Help Desk. From the subfolders inside, he clicks on another called Pending Inquiries, then opens up a document dated the 10th of July, 2011. The words Central London, active, and a telephone number stand out. He gets on his mobile.
This is the help desk. May I have your client ID? Client ID, please.
GH19600902.
Verification, can I have values 1, 3 and 8 of your protocol?
Harry scans the page.
I repeat, values 1, 3 and 8.
Harry fishes out the note from Malcolm's.
F3.
Job number, please.
7109CJB9.
Please hold whilst I acquire. How can I help?
Status.
One moment. The engineers are due on site at 1555. Access and egress have been secured. Are you set up to receive on the device you're calling from?
Yes.
Sending now.
Thank you.
A message comes through to his phone. It shows a marker in a map of central London, a street view of the location, then a photo of Wentworth, labelled status active.
Wentworth?
The next page shows a photo of the engineer. It's Mark Venn.
No. That's not possible.
Harry stares at the photo of his now middle-aged brother in disbelief. Standing in the middle of a bustling square, Gina looks at a piece of paper in her pocket, then stares into space. Hearing the cops entering the laundrette, Harry quickly packs up the laptop, then heads down the back stairs to leave through the fire exit. In the alley outside, he instantly dumps the laptop in a large industrial bin. As he walks away, he gets out his mobile, sees it's an unknown number calling, and hesitates. Gina waits for an answer.
Yeah?
Harry?
Where are you?
Sloane Square.
Mark's going to be at a press conference.
He's going after Wentworth.
I have to stop him.
Nigel's dead. They killed him.
Listen to me, Gina.
If you get out of London as fast as you can, you go back to Paris and go and stay with Nadine, a friend. Somewhere you can be safe.
She nods tearfully.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Be careful, Harry.
Okay, I'll call her. Call you later.
Bye, Gina.
Goodbye, Harry.
Harry runs off down the alley. At home, Wentworth is busy looking through his notes while someone runs a clothes brush over his suit. James arrives.
James Moore.
James, hi.
Feeling nervous?
Not remotely. Listen, they're just making me look beautiful for the camera, so give us a couple of minutes.
Good idea. Yes, I'll leave you to it.
Wentworth returns to his aides. James turns away to take a call.
Jason.
The girl got away again.
How was that possible?
Fountain. He intervened. He's dead.
You need to get to the site.
Girls, Daddy's off to work now. We'll see you tonight.
Wentworth crouches down to speak to his two young daughters. Harry's riding in the back of a cab with a haunted, faraway look in his eye. Leaving Wentworth's house, James and his bodyguard pass through the media pack stationed outside.
Wentworth's going to be the next Prime Minister. Do you have any political aspirations yourself?
Is this about these offshore funds?
Mr. Morgan, how much are you bankrolling him for?
Completely ignoring the barrage of questions, James crosses the street, then climbs into his waiting car. The pack closes in on Wentworth, who's just emerged with his family.
Mr. Wentworth, what have you got on Wednesday?
I think that's a question the whole country deserves an answer to, and I'm very much looking forward to giving the answer later today.
Do you think you'll be Prime Minister tonight?
And, well, that's not for me to decide.
Elspeth.
Our boy certainly looks the part.
Thank you very much.
He looks exactly what he is. Another plausible, ambitious PR man with a trust fund and a pretty wife.
Yes. Poor thing has no idea what's coming.
James watches Wentworth getting into a car. Then the small convoy of expensive dark saloons pulls away. A pensive Harry's still in the cab as it makes its way through the city streets. Press conference passes are being handed out in the lobby of a building where security is tight. At the body scanner gate, a man sets off the alarm and is given the once-over with a wand. Harry enters and goes up to a woman on the desk.
Hey, excuse me. I need to ask a really big favour. I've lost my press card, my mistake. But I do need to get into the press conference.
I'll just check the list. What's your name?
Paul Brody. Thanks.
I'm afraid you're not on the list.
Sir, is there a problem?
Yeah, there is a problem. I'm not on that list and I need to get into this press conference.
Well, if your name's not on the list, you're not coming in.
This isn't my mistake, this is your mistake. My name should be on that list.
If it's not on the list, you're not coming in.
Harry backs down and walks off. As he leaves, the head of security keeps an eye on him. In the back of their car, James and Wentworth are sitting in silence. A police sniffer dog is led between rows of chairs in the empty press conference room. Harry joins the steady flow of people entering the building, then peels off to the side. Standing outside a room marked private, he turns back and watches the lobby. When he spots Stiles putting on a pass and walking off,
Harry makes to follow him. But the head of security catches his eye. Harry ducks through the door marked private, then makes a call on his mobile to Russell. The head of security comes after him with a couple of men.
Yeah.
It's Harry. Put the phone down now!
All right.
Gun.
Checking.
Clear up, get him down.
Security breach.
We've just had a communication from the head of security at the venue. We're going in the back way. Nothing to worry about.
There's growing speculation and excitement about what Alexander Wentworth is going to say when he gets here. He's invited the world's media, and the world's media have turned out.
I don't know who, and I don't know why, but I know it's going to happen.
Get him out of here now.
Did you just hear what I said? Russell, somebody's trying to kill Wentworth. That's what this is all about.
Shut up.
You in charge?
I am. Found him in a secure environment with a firearm. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him.
Harry, sit down.
What were you doing with the gun?
Fuck the gun. Somebody's going to kill Wentworth.
Yeah? Who's going to kill him?
How many times? I don't know.
Why does this person want to kill Wentworth?
Look, you can keep dicking around with these questions and you can do something about it, but you're going to have to do it quick because Alexander Wentworth is going to be dead in less than 20 minutes.
Have you seen the amount of security out there?
They can get to him. Wake up, Russell. You're a detective. This is all connected. The Braddock kit, Stevie Quirk, it all leads to here.
Take him away.
Okay. I know what he looks like. I don't know his name, but I know what he looks like. I can point him out to you.
Harry is taken through the security gate.
Raise your arms.
Right. Who are we looking for?
Mid-30s, medium build. He's over 6 foot. He's got dark hair.
If you even think of trying anything, I'm gonna let these guys shoot you.
The ministerial cars park around the back of the press conference building. Then James and Wentworth climb out. The two men exchange a look.
I have your badge.
They're both given badges on their way in. Inside, as Harry is escorted up the stairs by the police, he casts his eye over the still bustling lobby. Wentworth, James and their aides are coming up the back stairs. Harry and Russell are keeping their eyes peeled. The head of security receives a message on his earpiece.
Wentworth's in the building.
You see him?
Stiles is stationed in a corridor. When Wentworth and his entourage pass by, Stiles and James exchange a quick look. Then Stiles moves away. Harry's eyes scan the faces of the assembled journalists waiting outside the conference room. A bodyguard stops Wentworth's entourage outside a set of double doors.
One moment, please. We're just waiting for security clearance.
Still not nervous?
Honestly? I feel the hand of history on my shoulder.
Harry spots a security guard talking to a man at the bottom of the stairs. The man turns around. It's Mark.
Well, do you see him?
Russell.
This is a waste of time. It's compromising security.
When Harry sees Mark climbing the stairs and someone slipping him a gun, he taps Russell on the back, then points out a random man on the opposite side of the room.
Here. That's him. There.
Which one?
Striped tie, the grey suit. There.
Come on, he's over there.
As Wentworth and his entourage sweep into the room, Harry rushes forward. Mark aims at Wentworth, stopping him in his tracks. But then he swings round and shoots James instead. Amidst the chaos, James falls backwards into the arms of two aides, and Wentworth is rushed out by security. As Harry watches in shock, Mark turns and looks him straight in the eye before being bundled through a doorway by guards. Harry dashes after them. Mark's taken into a lift.
Mark.
But the doors have already closed by the time Harry arrives. He stabs at the button, then dashes down the back stairs, taking them several at a time. He finds a guard lying shot in the lift. Harry throws open the door to the lobby, where he finds Stiles slumped on the floor, with blood trickling from his mouth.
Who are you working for?
Who are you working
for? On your feet, Ben!
Russell pulls Harry off. While one police officer checks Stiles for a pulse, another cuffs Harry.
Sensational revelations are still coming in thick and fast following the assassination of the billionaire industrialist James Morpeth, shot down in front of the world's
media. It's being said that the intended target was in fact Alexander Wentworth, and rumours are also gaining ground that the assassination and ensuing chaos would be used to justify some kind of coup. Certainly suggesting that the assassination may be linked to the death of Sir Nigel Fountain, who was shot dead in Kew Gardens earlier the same day.
Harry's in a police interview room.
So you deny you're involved in the Morpeth assassination?
We've been doing this for 3 days. You catch on fast, Russell.
What about the Braddock murder? You still deny that?
Yes.
Why did you go to the house?
You know what? I've got nothing more to say.
When Harry sits back in his chair, Russell nods to a detective who leaves the room. Then Russell turns off the tape.
Right. It's just you and me, Harry. Off the record, okay?
Okay.
This is what I think.
I think you found out that something was going down at the press conference. You weren't exactly clear what, but you thought you might be able to stop it. Exactly. And you had the gun because someone had already tried to kill you. There you go, bang on the money. This is what else I think. 20 years ago, your brother Mark came to you and he asked you to do a bit of driving for him. You couldn't say no to Mark. He had balls, charisma. You looked up to him, admired him. I don't think you knew there was going to be a hit. Listen, H, I don't blame you for going along with him. The one I blame is Mark. He was your big brother. He took advantage of you, Harry. I think you've been carrying a lot of guilt for a lot of years. And that's too much for any man to carry. This is a chance to get it off your chest. Chance to start again. Hey?
Harry leans on the table thinking. Then he looks up at Russell and lets out a hollow laugh.
That's very good. Tell me, they make you retrain in interrogation techniques because they wouldn't let you beat up prisoners anymore, because I'm impressed, you know? Just goes to show you can teach an old dog. But just so as we're clear, Fenton, do you mind if I call you Fenton? Mark never asked me to drive. And I wasn't at the Braddock house. You think you've got a case? Fine. Charge me.
Russell turns the tape back on.
Harold George Venn, I hereby charge you with conspiracy to murder Geoffrey Philip Braddock on April the 8th, 1989.
A spider with spindly legs climbs up the white wall of a cell, watched by a weary-looking Harry.
An officer comes in with a pile of fresh clothes.
Clothes. The solicitor's here.
He tosses them on the bench, then leaves. Unshaven and dressed in a pale grey sweatshirt, Harry glances at the clothes before turning his attention back to the spider. Now wearing a suit, Harry's being led through the station. The officer opens up a door for Harry to enter. Inside, Gina turns round to face him.
Gina.
They shake hands.
Well, we said I'd get in trouble just to have you as my lawyer.
Dressed in a dark skirt suit, she smiles. Then they sit down across from each other at a table.
I have to warn you, coffee's terrible.
He takes a sip from a polystyrene cup.
I've drunk worse.
You're a brave man. Really?
They hold each other's gaze for a long, meaningful moment. Then he lowers his eyes.
I got your newspaper. There's a government, at last.
So, they were going to use Wentworth's assassination as an excuse for a coup.
That's the most popular theory, yes.
Worsley is still PM.
Why did Mark kill Morpeth and not Wentworth?
Harry, Morpeth wanted you dead. Mark wasn't going to let that happen. He's your brother.
When she gives his hands a squeeze, he lifts his eyes to her. Then she gets to her feet.
We're not going to make a bail application today. We don't have the package in place. You'll be remanded in custody. Sorry.
Don't worry about me. What about you?
I'm fine.
Did you get what you needed from Nigel?
I got some answers.
But I wasn't thinking that. I know how much he meant to you.
He knew everything. He lied. But he was trying to protect me.
Do you have anyone? I mean, do you have anyone to go to?
She gives him an inscrutable look.
Let's face the music.
With files tucked under her arm, she opens the door, then leads him to the stairwell where they part company. She proceeds upstairs, while a barred door is unlocked so he can be taken down. By the time Harry's led into the courtroom, Gina is already seated at the lawyer's desk in front of the bench. As he enters the dock, Harry glances at Lauren and his dad in the public seating.
Sir, I appear for Mr. Venn. He will be vigorously contesting the charges against him.
Mr. Venn is remanded in custody until the 28th of this month.
Later, clutching a set of prison-issue clothes and trainers, Harry is led along a red brick corridor by a guard who unlocks a gate for him to pass through.
Go up the courtyard and wait.
What's going on? Hey! What's going on?
Ignoring him, the officer heads back the way he came. Harry climbs up a short flight of stairs, then steps outside into the sickly daylight of the prison's courtyard. The sound of the closing door makes him look over his shoulder. He's standing by himself in the middle of an enclosure, no more than 20 feet by 10. The high walls are topped with barbed wire, and on the far side is a closed metal door.
Harry looks about him warily.
Hello?
With trepidation, he approaches the rusty metal door which is set back in a recess. He notices another door to one side and gives it a push, but it's locked. A buzzer opens a third gate, which Harry pulls open. At the end of a passageway running down the side of the courtyard, a prison officer is standing with his back to him. Harry sets off cautiously towards him.
Hey! Hey! What's going on?
Hello, Harry.
It's Mark. Harry stares at his brother in shock.
What are you doing here?
I think I'm going to sit there and watch them bang you up. What's the big brother for, eh?
A lot of good it's done me.
Saved your ass once or twice.
You got me into this.
That's right. And now I'm getting you out.
And that's supposed to make it all right between us. Is it?
I don't have all day.
No, of course you don't. You've waited 20 years, but you don't have another day.
We need to go. I need a yes or no from you, Harry, and I need it quick. You want me to get you out of here?
No. I've got myself a good lawyer.
With the briefest of nods, Mark turns on his heel, then unlocks a gate at the far end of the passage. Stepping through, Mark leaves the gate open behind him, then walks off without a backwards glance. Harry watches him go. Then, standing rooted to the spot, he stares at the open gate.
This brand new drama over on BBC Four starting now as one impulsive act at a birthday party changes everything for the people there. Switch over now for The Slap.